Let me talk just a minute about accountability, because when you talk about making decisions like this, especially with people that have long church backgrounds, the issue of accountability comes into play. And I've been thinking about this a lot over the past 6 or 8 months, because I want to be accountable. I never want to be in the spot where I don't have a group of men around me that I am accountable to. And it's so important for our safety. And that's supposed to be the other overseers that are around me. But our problem is we frequently think of accountability from a perspective of suspicion. Do you follow me? What we think is, I'm going to watch you and be sure. We think of accountability from a perspective of suspicion. But I don't think that's Christian accountability. I think Christian accountability is from the perspective of trust. Does that make sense? That we can say, you about your lead pastor and us about you, that I so trust you. And I trust you not based on some, I've just met you, so, but I trust you because you look nice. I trust you because I know you. And you know me. Do you follow that? Does that make sense? And accountability based on trust is a completely different thing. It is the protect. It is the safety that God means for the overseers to have amongst themselves and the lead pastor who has to champion the vision for it to have. Not accountability based on suspicion, but accountability based on trust. And we can trust because we know each other. I mean, we've confessed our sin to each other. We know each other's story. We're transparent with each other. There's trust. And in that atmosphere, it's safe. It's, I would say, true accountability. Accountability that is redemptive. Does that make sense? It's really important. Most people see a board as functioning from a perspective of suspicion accountability. That's how our cultures work. But it's not how Jesus' church ought to work. You know, and that's why Paul says things to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:19, like, do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by 2 or 3 witnesses. In other words, if it's 2, I'm not sure if I'm even going to entertain this, but if it's 3, I have to. Those who sin are to be rebuked publicly so that the others may take warning. And I think publicly there means in front of all the rest of the overseers. I don't have time to explain why I think that right now, but that's what I think it means. And if it was a visible teaching, preaching overseer that's been in front of the church all the time, it'd have to be in front of the whole church probably. At least in front of the team meeting. And why does Paul say that? Do not entertain an accusation against an elder, an overseer, a pastor, unless it's brought by 2 or 3 witnesses. I think he's saying, You better know these overseers well. You ought to know that they're trustworthy, and you got to know that the evil one will try to accuse them. And if you harm relationship and break trust by not protecting them and defending them when that happens, that is, there's accusations being brought without clear evidence of sin. And you got to know, this is not talking about, you know, character weaknesses. This is not talking about those kind of faults that are not sin. Like me, for instance. I mean, our overseers frequently have to explain what I meant when I said something like an idiot, that I didn't, you know, get it out quite right. Because I don't always get it out quite right. I mean, do any of you always get it out right? Larry does, but none of the rest of us young guys do. That's what experience does for you. And so So what happens when somebody comes to me and would complain about Andrew or complain about David Sherry or Earn? I know exactly what to say. I say, wait, I trust them completely. I know them inside and out. You better have something worth talking about, and there better be a couple others of you that can verify it, or I will not even listen to you, because the Bible tells me I may not. I may not even listen to your accusation. So if you don't have any proof, you better shut up. And I have to say that. The Bible requires me to say that, to defend and to protect. And that's the same role that our overseers have in defending and protecting me. It's not, you know, it's not because, you know, they're the boys and they're going to cover up all my sin. You know, if I have sin, I'll confess it. If I sin, I'll say I sinned. Here it is. You know, it's not like that. It's not a good old boy club trying to get away with something. But it's that the church and the leaders are not safe if the rest of the overseers don't understand you do not entertain an accusation against the lead pastor or a fellow overseer if there are not two or three witnesses. And, you know, other overseers, not the lead pastor, if you hear that, man, you got to be telling the lead pastor about that, because that's one of the main roles in protecting the church. It's so important. It's safety for the lead pastor. As a lead pastor, I absolutely cannot lead if I don't feel safe. And there's lots of times when I've not felt safe because things were happening. And where it always comes back to safety for me is when our overseers, and I've experienced it over and over through the years, here and in Blue Sky now, when the overseers get around me and protect me and say, you know, speak truth to me, we got this, it's okay, we're together, all of that stuff, well, then I'm safe. But if I wonder about that, I'm not safe, and I can't lead. And what I personally do, and you know, all of our personalities, styles, weaknesses are different, but what I personally do is I start shrinking back from leading. Because, you know, one of my tendencies is to become a little afraid and not wanting to assert myself where I shouldn't, and so I'll start pulling back. But if I feel safe, I'll lead. You know, I remember years ago when Shondor and I were trying to figure this out for the first time. Remember all that, Shondor? I mean, people would come to Shondor and complain to him about me, and it's always subtle and sweet, right? They'd always, I just have this problem I'm working through, and they would talk, and by the end of it, he'd realize, oh, I just got slimed. What they meant to do was complain about Steve, and they acted so sweet. And then finally, back in the Vineyard Dave Stark sat us down up in St. Louis, wasn't it? And he started talking with us about that and talked Shondor through, because I didn't know what to tell him to do. I had never done this before. What did he say, Shondor? And so don't think that that's going to be innocuous. I mean, those kind of accusations come from hell. And the evil one, true to his character, he always mixes partial truths in, right? That's how he tempted Jesus. That's how he always mixes partial truths. I mean, man, if you want to find weaknesses in me, you can find them. I can list them for you. He always mixes them together. And what Shondor learned that day was a few lines. And, you know, I remember when he first started using it, he'd be so excited. Because at first it was getting so he could catch it when it first started happening, before it went very hard. Because what happened was, even if it didn't take me out, it would end up hurting Shondor. Because he listened to words designed from hell. And it would cause him doubt, suspicion, fear, all of those kinds of things. But once he learned to say, listen, it sounds like you have a problem. And I know Steve, and I trust Steve. Once he started saying that you're going to have to work through your problem, and discerning when it was something big enough, that is, if it came from a leader or something like that, when he had to send them to me, and when it was something to say, your heart's not right, you have a problem, you better just deal with it and get over it and not send them to me. You know, it took a while kind of learning what's what on that, so I don't have to deal with every gripey person in the church. But once he started doing that, amazing the spiritual difference. He stepped into a protective role. Now, how can you do that and have accountability? Because the Bible tells us we must. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless there are two or three witnesses. And those that sin, so we know he's talking about sin, not weaknesses. Right? He's not talking about weaknesses. He's not talking about, you know, me sometimes being impatient. He's not talking about me, you know, saying things flippantly sometimes that are misunderstood. He's talking about sin. Those who sin, you know, then you have to deal with it from an issue of sin. And we have provisions for doing that. Does that make sense? Accountability, biblically, is based on trust. If you don't trust the lead pastor, you need to just resign and get out of that spot. That's not right. It's not right. And lead pastor, if you don't trust your overseers, you have the wrong people in the spot. You need to release them. Give them freedom. Don't put them in the impossible spot. Does that make sense? Where there is unity among the overseers, where there is a fierce protection of one another, the evil one cannot come in and breathe lies. And the safeguard for us is we know what to do where there really is sin. Rebuke them publicly so that the others may take warning and not sin too. Okay? So it's not like this, there's no provision for if we really do sin. I mean, if I sin, if I screw up, if I had an affair, you know, there's lots of provision, and we're all set up to know what to do with me. Right? Just like any of you overseers, if you did that, we know exactly what to do with you. We would rebuke you publicly, deciding whether that's in front of the other overseers, in front of the team meeting, depending on what your visibility was. If you were visible in front of the whole church, it would be some explanation in front of the whole church so that everybody else, especially the other overseers, would take warning and not sin. Make sense? And really, this is about redemption. I mean, any of you not sin? I mean, the list of sin in my life is so long, it would kill a cow if they tried to swallow it. It's bad. But I don't live like that now. I don't live like that anymore. I just used to.